Welcome back to Midday. I'm Tom Hall. My next guest is the internationally acclaimed violinist Jennifer Coe. Before the pandemic took hold, she was concertizing around the globe in demand as one of the most brilliant artists of her generation. But when the pandemic began, bookings vanished. A New York Times profile published the day after Christmas referred to the cultural depression that Jennifer and legions of other performers were experiencing as unemployment among performing artists outpaced the rest of the workforce, including restaurant and hospitality workers. Most theaters and concert venues throughout the U.S. remain closed, and while the Labor Department reported that non-farm payrolls increased by 916,000 workers last month, freelance artists continue to be left out of the ever-so-gradual economic recovery, even as vaccinations against COVID-19 became more commonplace. Jennifer Coe has maintained an online presence throughout the pandemic. On Sunday evening, she'll be playing a live online recital that will be streamed by the Shriver Hall Concert Series. Ticket holders to the digital concert will have access to that performance for a week. Jennifer Coe joins us today from New York, of course, on Zoom. Jenny, welcome back. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to be here.
So how's it been this last year? I mean, this has been an incredible, unprecedented time for artists of your stature and freelancers who are or not, you know, solo performers like you are, but folks who play in orchestras and the pits in Broadway and all around New York and the country. How have you been holding up this last year?
I mean, it's been, of course, devastating to the performing arts field financially, because of course there are not any concerts that we can do safely or performances that we can really do safely at this point indoors. I'm much more concerned about my younger colleagues, partly because, you know, a lot of my work has been postponed to next spring, to 2022. But for my kind of younger generation colleagues, much of the work has just been canceled. So I think where I try to focus my energy is how can we help this younger generation and how can we not lose them from entering into music? So, you know, Alone Together, I kind of pulled together this project where I was able to commission 20 younger freelance artists. And I was able to launch that actually within a couple of weeks of the shelter in place order. So in general, you know, of course it's not an easy time, but I think it's an opportunity, or I've seen it as an opportunity to be able to do things for other people. And it really clarifies what my mission is in life, I guess.
Jennifer Coe is my guest. She's a terrific classical violinist. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Jennifer is performing on the Shriver Hall Concert Series Sunday night. So this Alone Together project, and you're big on projects, Jenny. You got projects galore. And this is an incredibly imaginative one. I mean, on your recital on Sunday, that's going to be sponsored by Shriver, you're going to play some Bach, and you're going to play some pieces that came out of this Alone Together project. Talk about how it's structured, who you worked with, and what they did, and what you're doing, and how it's been rolled out over this past year.
Yeah, so I mean, initially this project was just, I was thinking of it as a way to help kind of fund younger freelance artists. And I knew also my kind of community was really cared as well about younger artists. So I approached kind of more well-known, I suppose, composers who I knew had salaried positions or institutional support. And I asked them for recommendations of younger artists. And so this program for Shriver, so I didn't realize at that time, it's only been later that I realized that those pieces actually are an archive, an emotional archive of that whole period of time that was shelter in place. And I think it was quite scary for a lot of people. So for example, I I opened the program with Ellen Reed's Brick Red Mood. And that was where she just saw this huge wall. And it was a question of how will all of us artists be able to overcome this wall and this change that's happening. So it ranges from that to there's a piece by Patrick Castillo called Mina Cecilia's Constitutional, where he and his wife had a newborn. And you kind of hear how, you know, he would just go in the yard and with a stroller and just go in circles walking with her. So you can kind of hear that like bumping around, and then suddenly it'll be interrupted by ambulance sirens. So there are kind of all of these different aspects of that pandemic. There's in fact even a piece called Cleaning by Catherine Balch, which is about that beginning, you know, time where we, I believe, or at least I and many of my friends were obsessively cleaning when this first happened, when it first really hit the United States. So in other words, all of these works are really, I think, a musical archive of that time, an emotional archive of the pandemic. And I think that they pair really well with the Bach Partita number 3 and Sonata number 3, because Bach's sonatas and partitas for solo violin, they were really like personal journals. They were never commissioned. These works were never commissioned, and they were never known to have been performed live or in public. And they fell over a 17-year period of his life. So I kind of see all of it, all of those works kind of as a personal diary of his growth and kind of evolution as an artist. And just like that is an archive of his own creative life, I think that the Alone Together pieces, which are kind of interspersed between the Partita and Sonata, are archives of kind of this larger communal experience that I think all of us around the world, you know, can relate to.
Sure. When you and I first met 20-something years ago, we were on a panel for the National Endowment for the Arts, and we were reviewing all of these incredible proposals from orchestras and choruses and opera companies around the country, these incredible ideas and these imaginative programs that people were doing and were funded by the NEA and continue to be funded to this day. What do you think is going to happen when this thing really is over, when most people are vaccinated, when it is safe to go in public spaces, indoor public spaces, theaters, concert halls, clubs? Is there, do you think, going to be this pent-up demand for classical music that people will need sated? I mean, what's your expectation? Do you have a hunch?
I have a hunch, and I also have what I hope for. I do have a hunch because after the Spanish flu pandemic in 1918, we kind of saw this huge explosion of philosophy, of thought, of art. It happened in Berlin. It happened in, you know, a second Viennese school, even in terms of Sigmund Freud, but, you know, also going into architecture design. Much less music. And I think that this kind of time where there's a pause, where we can't have live performances, it's been a huge time of reflection. So I do think creatively, what I hope for is that it will be kind of this creative explosion. The other thing I hope for, I mean, because I've missed going to live performances as an audience member so much. And so not only as the performer do I miss it, but I also miss being on the other side. I do think that there's going to be something amazing about having these communal experiences again. There's going to be something amazing about engaging with a kind of expansion of just ourselves, because at this time it's, you know, almost dangerous to be close to each other. And so I think that when things are quote unquote back to normal, if there is kind of a normal, I think that live performances and live gatherings will be a huge part of us all kind of emotionally processing this period of time. And then in terms of technology, I mean, for Shriver, you know, I'm doing this live streamed or streamed recital on video. And one of the things I've noticed is that with streams, I've actually had the opportunity to get to know more musicians and different musicians that I would not have necessarily known had it not been for all of this video. So I think, or I might have not had the opportunity to listen to it or see it in person. So I think going into the future, video will and streaming is going to still continue to be an important part of the performing arts.
And that's a good point, because maybe it is, in fact, expanding the audience and expanding the connections on a certain level. So let's hope that that's true. Well, I hope that both your hunch and your hope come true. Jennifer Coe is playing a recital on the Shriver Hall concert series that streams on Sunday night at 5:30. Jenny, it's always good to talk to you. Break a leg Sunday, and thanks so much.
Thank you.
In addition to Jennifer Coe's recital, Shriver Hall has other digital concerts scheduled later this month, next month as well, and in June. So we've got a link to more information at wipr.org/midday. That's it for us today. Coming up Monday, it's Midday with the Mayor. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott joins me, plus the activist and organizer Saima Sitwat talks about her new book, American Muslim, An Immigrant's Journey. Midday's director and engineer is Luke Spicknell. We get help from Mark Gunnery as well. Rob Sivek is our senior producer. Jamila Krempel is WYPR's digital content director. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. Reveal is up next at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. We leave you with more of the wonderful artistry of Jennifer Coe playing the music of J.S. Bach. Have a great weekend.
You're listening to your NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.